Hello, dear friends, dear visitors of this webinar about anthroposophy-based stress reduction. In this webinar, I want to invite you to take note of the exercises which Rudolf Steiner has given in 1912 in a lecture called Overcoming Nervousness. And if you want to form a group together with me to run through these exercises, doing one exercise for a week. Why I suggest to do this, or the focus of this program and also of the lecture today, is the question, what is the I, the core of the human being? Because for my opinion, these exercises have a lot to do with this question. And what role does the I of the human being play in our everyday life and for the world? Rudolf Steiner has given 8 exercises which he suggests we should do to overcome nervousness. The first one is hide objects from yourself. For example, a toothpaste or a toothbrush in your cupboard, your shoes on top of the cupboard, and the car key may be in the fridge. Then he explains what we should do when we do it in order to remember it easily, using the inner capacities of our body. The next exercise is he suggests change your handwriting and just look how you write normally, but then change a few things. Here you see, you could even start under the line, or you can put things very close together or make the distance between the letters very big. And here I want to show you what happened to me when I did this. And my handwriting, because I often feel under pressure and it's hard to me to take time to write, does not look very nice. Yeah? And it wouldn't be easy for me to change my handwriting. But when I did this exercise, for example, I told myself, just write all the first letters of a word big and make a circle on the top of an I instead of just making a point. And I was so surprised how my handwriting changed. I did not plan to write beautifully, but it became so beautiful. And you can develop a lot of fantasy. For example, just try to beautify your letters, or just write, that's more appropriate for the German way of writing, the beginning of a word with small letters and the rest of the word with big letters, or write it the other way around, from back to front, many things. And what you notice is there's something in your body which unveils itself as beauty when you just go into this handwriting, changing a few little things. And that's our first example, that you touch with these exercises layers in yourself which you normally are not aware of. And that's actually what Rudolf Steiner said. He said, when he introduced these exercises, you know, from spiritual science we know we have supersensible bodies. We have a physical body, an etheric life forces body, and astral and soul body. We have a body for the ego, for the I, and we are not aware of it. But out of this knowledge you can develop these exercises, and then you will see that they will be of a good effect. They will help you in your ordinary life to master life. And a side effect will be, if you work like this with these exercises, you get a sort of insight in how your higher, the the super sensible layers of your body work and you start to develop trust in deeper layers of yourself. You start to feel carried by yourself. Yes, and so he went on. He's just said, sit down during the day and start to think in reversed order. Remember tune which you have in mind and try to sing it backwards, note for note. Or have a telephone number in mind and just go through it backwards. Or have a poem in your mind and speak it backwards, inwardly, word for word. And one interesting thing is, if you do this, especially with poems or meditations, you will realize that in the beginning it's a lot of effort even to begin. Then it's a lot of effort to pursue, to manage, to think in reversed order. But if you manage to continue and to do it, suddenly you realize that the meaning of the words can change and the content of what the words carry becomes astonishingly deep, profound, and you get ideas which you wouldn't have thought of otherwise. So even there, you touch deeper layers. But you only do an ordinary exercise. You just think a few things in reversed order. The next exercise, that's a combined one, or then for one issue, he suggests practice self-observation and practice to change habits. So, for example, watch yourself tying your shoelaces as if you would stand next to yourself and watching you. And on the other hand, change habits. This woman lays in her bed the other way around, the feet on the cushion and the head at the end of the bed. Or sit on a chair the other way around. Or use, when you brush your teeth, the left hand instead of the right hand, or the right hand instead of the left hand, and so on. Just change things. But do it playfully. Especially when we go to the next suggestion, when he says, how do you deal with wishes? Refrain from fulfilling your little wishes. First of all, discover how many wishes you have a day. Constantly you wish something, you need something, and you automatically you fulfill it. Then ask yourself, do you really need it, or can I wait for a little bit of time with my coffee, or just leave it away anyway? And here I think it's important that you do it very playfully. Don't use this exercise to say, now I want to stop smoking. And I will explain later why this playfulness is so important. Then he suggests, weigh up your decisions consciously. Again, become aware of how often you decide what you are going to do. Do I leave my room now or in 1 minute? Do I finish this letter? Don't I finish this letter? Do I cook this or do I cook that? Constantly we decide. What do I do this exercise? Don't I do this exercise? And again, notice how often you decide. Next step. If you decide for something, become aware that for every argument for something, there must be also arguments against it. And if you have only an argument for something and you follow it, you have already decided, because you just avoided to see or to listen what's speaking against it. So you avoided to decide consciously, but that was already a decision. So when you decide, become aware of both sides, and then realize the head can't decide. You must take it into your heart, and when you decide from there, the heart can deal with contradictions. Okay, we do it like this, and if it was wrong, I can carry it through because it was my decision and I want to learn out of it. And the last exercise he suggests was refrain from criticism. And he again has a double idea, two ideas behind it. The first one, again, we criticize such a lot 10% of it would be enough. It does not say don't criticize, because there are so many things which are not just, where you have to protest, where you have to say no. But not as often as we do it, because very often we criticize in order just to sense ourselves that we are somebody. We use our criticism to speak about somebody else, and then we are better, or to protect ourselves. So try to find out how often did I criticize which was not needed. And then he goes one step further and said, if somebody is aggressive against you, if somebody is not just against you, don't protect you through criticism. Step back and think about what might be his problem. Maybe he's under pressure from somewhere else, he has a difficult family situation, he does not actually mean me, it's by accident that I'm crossing his way. Just try to think like this, just don't take things personally, put it into a wider perspective. These are the exercises Steiner suggested we should do. Why? In the beginning of his lecture, he told us why. In his introduction, he speaks about the problems of our times. And he starts, and now please look at the right-hand side of this presentation. He starts there with being hunted by thoughts. We put it into contemporary words. He spoke about the Zappelphilip, somebody who cannot order his thoughts. That happens so often nowadays. And then he speaks about people who don't know what to do, and they carry out, they're looking around for advice instead of deciding for themselves. Then he speaks about that we have many illnesses, which actually are not, the origin is not a bodily illness, it comes out of the soul. Psychosomatics was not a concept in medicine, but Steiner already spoke about it. Then he spoke about what he called political alcoholism, this restlessness and loss of control. You discuss, and you don't know what to decide and what to do. Then he speaks about this problem, and we go to the left. Now I'm coming to the blue part. This problem that nowadays, already then, we go to university, we go to school, and we learn things just because we have to learn them, but not because we were interested in them. So, and this creates something in us that it's difficult later on in adult life, when we do something, to be fully connected. So we do what the boss wants, we do what others want, and for this, the flow back, that we do things, but we are not nourished by them, and then, very naturally, the burnout comes about, because you do, you give, and after some time you feel empty and no meaning in your life anymore. Then he goes on and speaks about people at his time for whom it was difficult to start to sign, not difficult, but people who work in a post office, that they had a habit that they, before they started to sign something, they made with their fingers like this, they crazy funny movements, and only then they started to. Right. So it is in a way, they had an intention, but they could not really enter into their body because the body was tired to do everything the same again. Yeah. So the body is hardened and not so open anymore to your impulses. And then he speaks about forgetfulness. And then afterwards he just describes the exercises which you could do, and then you see that he goes exactly through theme to theme to theme, following, making a suggestion of an exercise which actually fits to the problem. And if you look at the problems again, you see, in a way, that's the whole spectrum of what we call nervosity nowadays. Different kinds of nervosity, and maybe you feel like me, I, maybe you, we know them all of them. pretty well. A little bit we have all of it in us, more, some less. Okay, so he discovered a problem in his time, the upcoming of nervosity, and he made suggestions what to do. And what I want to show you is that there's a system behind it, that Steiner had something in mind and he spoke out of this, what he had in mind, this system. And the first thing is that, and now we go again from left to right, that the first three exercises, which I drew blue, they strengthen the etheric body, the life forces. Yeah? The exercises, which I drew in red, they strengthen the soul forces, the astral body, the soul. And the exercises, which I drew in yellow, they strengthen the I, the will, the deeper will, the will which is connected with my, what do I really want? Which resources do I have? What wants to come out of me? And to bring this into life. What you can discover now in a way that one order which is behind it is the concept, the idea that there is a physical body which is cared for by the life body, which is moved by the soul body, which is enlivened, which is ensouled by the soul, which is somehow inspired by our spirit, which we call in anthroposophy spirit self, life spirit, spirit man, different kinds of consciousness or being connected with our spirit in us. And then you can discover that in a way these exercises with hiding objects, they deal with this physical aspect. Where's my toothbrush? And can I look at it in a way that my body takes it in a way that it can easily bring it back? With this handwriting, I have shown you what happened to my handwriting. The life body is the body of wisdom, is the body of beauty. And this handwriting brings these life forces, these inner forces, this inner wisdom forward to unfold. And this thinking in reverse, this challenges our soul body. Can I concentrate myself? Can I start to do this exercise? Or am I too lazy? Am I too tired? Or do I just don't want it because I don't like it? When you go on to this restlessness and loss of control, that's in a way, am I mastering my soul life? Or is it mastered from outside? Yeah? So, and when you start changing habits, in a way you start to be playful with yourself. Can I change myself or am I stuck in how I became? And the self-observation has this aspect. I'm not just observing me tying my shoelaces, but I'm also observing the one who is observing me. So I'm aware on two layers, and also in a way already observing a spiritual aspect of myself. When I go on to this dealing with wishes, I start to ask myself, what do I really need? That's one aspect. And the other aspect is, do you start playing with it? I look into it a little bit later. So you start to enter a serious conversation with yourself, but an open-minded conversation. And when you start the swaying up decisions, then I told you already, you have to connect with your heart. You have to connect with what's really behind the purpose of this decision. What do I want to develop? It's a broader perspective. It's not just only, do I need this or that? When you refrain from criticism, then you practice that you completely stay calm and rest in yourself. But you broaden your horizon as far as possible and to look behind things, what's behind. So in a way, with these exercises, you do not just think about these layers, but in a way, you practice to touch them. So maybe you are not even aware of it, but you touch them. What we discovered is that you can attribute the qualities of the vowels to these exercises. How we found it, and it was the work with Dr. Harald Haas, which we started about 10 years ago, and the relationship of the Eightfold Path is described in the replay of the previous webinar, but we don't need it now. Just it only helped us to find this idea, but now we can let it speak for itself. And I'm going to show you now the relationship between the sounds, the vowels, and this exercise. If you do the R gesture, so the R gesture, you open your arms very open, and then it's just the preparation. The R actually begins when you draw your shoulders back and invite the surroundings to stream in. The R is let things come in, and then use your shoulders, to let go. And that's exactly what the exercise is. You put your toothbrush on top of the cupboard and you look where it is. You take the sense perception in and then you let go. And the next day, you don't try, where did I put my toothbrush? That's not necessary because you just let go with your shoulders and you let your memory come through your hands. Just let it stream in. That comes. And you know it from everyday life that this letting go, this is so important. Because if somebody is approaching you and you need the name of this person, it's not coming. What's his name? The person has passed by. Oh, I didn't remember. And suddenly you let go. It's too late. And you remember the name. Yeah, so this play, the R and the Ha. And then I will tell you later on, we do these exercises, I show you to practice it, but afterwards we try to, how can I incorporate this attitude in my body, in my cell consciousness, not just doing it with my arms. We look into this, if we have time, later. When we do this handwriting exercise, that is this beauty which lives us, the life body, let it unfold, yeah? And the O gesture, that's also, we use the O gesture, it has to do with the body of warmth, our lower system. And we just take it up and we make an O gesture, an encompassing, embracing gesture. We let our love flow in there. And we practice that this system here can come into a sort of fulfillment, and we feel that this is a gesture which really grows and makes us big and round and fulfilled. This thinking in reverse exercise, it's so obvious, the eurythmic E gesture, I gesture, depending on the language, you have both sides. In a way, you root yourself with one arm, and the other one stretches upwards. In a way, that's how we human beings are. We live in two worlds. We go down there, we root ourselves, and through this we become big and upright and in a way develop ourselves. So thinking in reverse is this theme of this way and the other way. Because when you think in reverse, you must have the forward way in mind in order to be able to turn it around. So you do both the things at the same time. When you do this changing habits, you have this E gesture, the next one. And that's just, there's right and there's left, and what's right comes to the left, and what's left comes to the right. You just change left and right. And out of this, like in a battery, if you bring plus and minus together, you get energy. And when you have the self-observation, and I will tell you why in the middle there are two exercises, the self-observation in a way is you meet yourself from within and from without. And the E-gesture has this aspect that you come from within and from without. And those two aspects meet. And so when you come on like this, can go on like this, when you do the eye, it's a bit more complicated to explain. There's a free video on the in the course on the vowels on the website. Then, in a way, you go there, you touch something, you go out, oh, how nice. But in a way, if you really touch yourself, you start to become centered and upright. And this ow, which has to do with this decision making, has a lot to do with being in the heart and feeling the whole circumference at the same time. So I'm here and there, and I can just go through all aspects of this circumference without losing myself and still directing things from out my heart. And the U gesture, in a way, is I stay. I feel myself. I experience myself as part of the universe. And through this, I grow, become transcendent, or however you would express this, to what is higher than me. I am a body, but things can ray through me. I am here, and I am connected with what's there. So that's how we want to combine, in a way, the everyday practical exercises with an inner sort of, it's not meditation, but it's working with the body, which opens ourselves towards what we also try with our everyday exercises. These practical exercises, and that's why I think they are important for our times, they lead us, they do not only solve problems, they lead us to ourselves, to this our spiritual core in us. And there, it's important what Rudolf Steiner said already in 1913 to his disciples who understood themselves as his esoteric pupils. And these are notes from one of the pupils in one lesson. And there he noted what Rudolf Steiner has said, but in his own words, the seer sees how currents flow from the etheric body and the astral body, which can then be expressed in the movement of the limbs. That means that, in a way, there is a stream, and I express this stream through my limbs. And he gives an example. J-E-J is an outward striving starting with the left hand. Or the, in German, E, in English, A, this gesture which I've shown you with the crossing of the hand. Put your right hand over your left, cross your right foot over your left, just as the optic nerves are crossed in the human head. So, we've just done it, huh? Easy, let's go on. But then he starts. And this we should take into consideration and take very serious, because that's for us now. You should not carry out the movements, but inhibit the movement. Press the limbs firmly against your body, but feel the same as if you were to carry out the movements. These were esoteric students then, and what they tried to do in their circle, we can do, all of us can do it now, because times have changed. And then Steiner finishes, we ourselves are the lost word of creation. So through this we can touch this word, this world of creation. If you want to join in, just stand up. And one principle of Eurythmics, that where you move and where the effect is, that's in different places. Yeah? Because that's this game, this play, the interference of the etheric and the eye. Yeah? We will look into it if you join the course, but it's not a main issue, but it's just in the background. So just stand, we just do the eye. the yod, the left hand is in front of the heart, and then you just use the forces of your heart to send your arm out. And if you are not getting lost in what you are doing, but if you still feel your body, you will notice the arm will not pull you there, but in a way, the uprightness, the feeling of uprightness in your body even increases. All you have to do is stay with yourself. Once again, use the forces of your heart to send the hands out and stretch the arm. And stay with yourself and feel that you become bigger from that. So what you already did, and most of you probably tried it, those who joined in, that you actually created an etheric flow. And this one took your hands along. They were practicing it in their secret circles, and you just can do it like now. Like as you have done it forever probably. And now, just stand there. And now we do what Steiner said. Put your hand in front of your chest. Don't move your hand. Leave it where it is. Move your invisible hands in front of your chest. Create a stream from your hand, from your heart, and carry this invisible arm and hand towards the outside, towards the periphery. Use the muscles of your invisible upper arm to stretch this arm and hand. Stretch the fingers of this invisible hand. And just feel if your uprightness feels as if it would be increased. And let go, let your breath react. What I said was, when you don't know if that's just in your head. Yeah, you just think it in your head. But if you do it and suddenly you feel your uprightness increases, then you know that it was real. Yeah? And the same when you do the E, for example. And to make it easy, it's the last thing we try out together. Just stand on your both feet, that's the easiest way to stand. And then, what Steiner said, cross your right leg slowly, do it slowly in front of your left leg. Feel where they touch, the lower legs where they touch, and try to press them against each other in a way that they create the feeling they rest at each other. So how do I have to press that they're not fighting but resting each other? And then try, if you can get a sort of mirror picture of this feeling, what it feels like that they rest on each other in your heart. And then slowly put your foot back. And let your breath react. And now do it again. Take your right foot, but don't move it. Really feel your right leg. Slowly cross it over the left leg. Press the right leg against the invisible part of the left leg. That's also the etheric leg. And try to press them in a way that you feel they start to rest on each other. And then listen if you can feel a resonance of this. And you have the feeling that you feel something in your heart which happens down there. You know, you moved your etheric body, your etheric limbs, it's real. Okay, maybe you experience 10% or 5% or 2% of what I tried to bring, but 2% is a lot. What we have to learn is, as soon as you feel something, you have entered a completely different world, and it's not the matter how much it is, but you enjoy it. Do we have questions about something which we spoke about before or right now? Monica.
Yes, I have a question. Yes, we have one. When I hide something from myself, do I hide it again the same place the next day or somewhere else?
The question is, if I hide something one day, do I hide it the same place the next day? And that's actually, and Rudolf Steiner really mentioned it, because if people have difficulties to remember things, you normally put them at the same place every time. And the game is to put it to a new place every time. It's in a way training a little bit. No, normally you would say you train your memory. But here you do something else. You practice to learn to trust your body. And this, you know, that's like between human beings. If somebody feels you trust him, he will not cheat you. And for this reason, it makes sense to playfully find new places and crazy places again and again, and not to repeat the same way of hiding things. Yeah? Okay. Then we go on. Don't hesitate to ask questions. I like. Oh, there are more questions. Yes, great.
I don't understand what he means when he says inhibit the movement.
What Steiner means, inhibit the movement, he described just the E is cross your arms. And then he says, do the same, but do not move your arms. Inhibit the movement of your arms. Keep them here, because normally the etheric takes the arms along. If I put my etheric body a little bit forward, my physical body starts walking by itself, because my physical body knows that it's nourished by the etheric body, so quickly it starts running. Yeah? So I just put this energy system a little bit forward, and my body feels invited to walk, and if I put my energy. So I have, in a way, to say, stop, don't follow the etheric, let the etheric move by itself now. Just be in the etheric with your consciousness. Yeah? A short answer, but I hope it became clearer. Move the etheric and leave the physical body where it is. Good. I go further with the presentation. What I want to show you now is that they are in a way mirroring each other. And these, what I have on the screen now, is the exercises which are in the middle. So exercise 4 and 5. Yeah? And each middle has both sides in it. So if you look, changing habits, that's a pretty practical thing. Yeah? So it's related in a way to the practical exercises, change your handwriting, practice hiding things, practice thinking in reverse. And there is this aspect of self-observation. Watch yourself, and watch the person who watches yourself. Be the person who watches yourself, which already prepares these exercises which come later. So a double aspect in the middle. And then, when you look at it, you see that this thinking in reverse and dealing with wishes, they are in a way mirroring each other. What has thinking in reverse to do with dealing with wishes? Both of them are, there is something going in this direction, and I choose the other direction. So normally I think forwards, but now I think it backwards. In dealing with wishes, something in me wants to buy these shoes, and something in me says, oh no, I keep it back. I take it, what wants to go out and buy, I take it into myself and let it there playfully start to observe it, to notice it. And the funny thing is that if you do these things, you expect you will be disappointed and actually you will experience joy in you. If you say, I don't have this coffee now, you normally think, oh, you will be tired. But in a way, your body reacts very differently. And if you look at the next pair, this changing, it's not good to read, I don't know why, changing the handwriting on the left-hand side and weighing up decisions. Is there a relationship between it? Changing handwriting. Okay, handwriting. That's in a way, what's coming out of me, my style. Yeah, how do I normally imprint myself into this on this paper? And weighing up decisions, look, if you decide like this or like that, that's how you write your life. If I have this coffee or if I don't have this coffee, if I don't get sick of it or heart attack, it does not change my life. But every decision changes my life. It's my... You understand who I am. You discover me in my decisions. Yeah, it's my... In German, one can even say, that's my handwriting. Yeah, on another level. If you go to the next one, you have this strengthening the memory, yeah, so hiding up things from yourself and really looking on what is there. Where is it? And Steiner gives you the hint or asks you practice to take exactly the picture of what is there. Do not look at the key which you hide from yourself. Look at the corner of the cupboard and its colors. And refraining from criticism again means look exactly what is there and not in just what this person does, but what is around this person. So again, this mirror picture. And if you put the whole together, we go not into it now, it's too complicated, but you have it there, then you in a way see that these exercises mirror each other. And also the spiritual members of us, the physical body, is in a way a sort of, if you work on it, you develop your spirit man. If you work on your life body, you develop your life spirit. If you work on your soul body, you develop your spirit self. And it's you find it back in these exercises. And that's why you can feel that these exercises really touch these members. And to bring it back to a more practical aspect, but still spiritual, that in a way you could say that the first three ones, they are the real practical ones. They're in a way dealing with the past, how things are. Where are the keys? How is my handwriting? And how are my thoughts, concepts? I have learned this, a poem which I think in reverse. The red thing plays with the middle. It's still my habits. I have developed them. But now, how do I deal with them? Can I play with them? And can I observe myself in the present while I'm doing something? And the last three, in a way, they have to do with creating the future, with our innermost being. Yeah? What do I need it? Do I not really need it? When you do these exercises, they have to do with your inner growth. Yeah? Your inner growth, when you change your handwriting, you would not say, oh, that's my personal development. But when you deal, how do I deal with wishes? How do I weigh up decisions? How do I deal with criticism from others, from myself? Then you realize, okay. And that's an important thing. When we do go through these exercises, we have to change our style. The first exercises you can even do when you're tired. You are tired, but just put your toothbrush somewhere. And if you don't look good enough, then you don't find it, but normally you manage. Change your handwriting. The pictures I've shown you, I was so tired when I did it, and this beauty arose. Thinking in reverse, that's hard anyway, so it's work. If you look at these three at the right-hand side, you cannot deal with it like this. Yeah? If you say, oh, again, I did not manage to refrain from this wish. Again, I did this. Oh, I forgot. You will notice, all the time you forget about doing these things. And there, the task is develop humor. Become playful. With weighing up decisions, it's also develop your serenity. Just don't become affective and what do I do? Just, okay, now I know I can do this, can do this, both is possible. I go this way. I learn to let go. And with this refraining from criticism, develop your generosity. And these things are not only for the others, they are meant for yourself. So all the time when you do not manage the exercise, then develop humor towards yourself, then develop serenity towards yourself, then develop generosity towards yourself, that afterwards you can apply it to others. So, and if you don't manage to switch this around and go on like this, I have to deal with wishes, weighing up decisions, we will get exhausted. If we become playful, we can go on. Now Monica signals there are questions.
This is not meditation. Could we say it is contemplation?
I think we do practical exercises. We do hiding objects. I would say it's communication. We take it serious that we are sort of duality and we start a playful communication that we communicate within us. What we have to learn and to develop is to see that the I, our innermost core, actually is the healing factor of the world, is the factor of health. When you manage to touch this reservoir, these resources in you, this I quality. And for this, I think this course could be that we together also deal with this question. Just let's touch our members, unconsciously, but we touch them. Think about it, and we have this question in mind. What is the core, the I of the human being? The interesting thing is that last year we did this course with a group of 50 people, and the University of Bern was accompanying this course. We did questionnaires, how are you doing now, and so on. And the project is not finished, but the publication will come soon. People did not get any explanation. I was just writing to them, who is interested in doing the course? About 100 people said, yes, maybe I can try it. So you see, in the first 2 weeks, people tried it and said no, but then the rest just continued the course. And that can show you in a way that people in a way seem to like it, because otherwise they would have dropped out. We have so many nice feedback. People like it. If you are interested to do it together with me, and not with me, but with the whole group, then go to this page. On this page, you find on the left-hand side this guided course with me, and the other one, they are the normal ones, which are online for years. And if you want, I ask, because there are many costs to run this course, maybe pay this €140, but already if you open this by now, you will see there's a reduction offered. And for those of you who think it's still too much for me, there's no money, is no issue. Just write to me and you can pay as much as you want from zero onwards. But it's nice if at least a little bit, this flow of giving and taking can take place. For me, it's great that I could talk with you about these exercises, because the longer I work with them, the clearer it becomes to me how much they can give to us and how useful it is also to share on them, to do them together. It gives a lot of energy for everyday life, and people who do these exercises report that. I'm looking forward to have contact with those of you who want to join, and I wish all of you a happy, fulfilled Easter.